it's not only brisk and cool, it's freezing. And glad to be here today. We're in 1 Nephi 16 through 18 today. This is my sweet sister-in-law, Becky. She's going to be helping me today, so she's going to hang out up here for a few minutes. She's married to my youngest brother, Chris. This week, we were talking in my home and with my boys about Nephi building the ship, and we talked about how he had to kind of make a plan, and we talked about them kind of making a plan, you know, in their lives. And my Max, one of my twins, he's Mr. Schedule guy. He keeps a diary, although he deems it a journal. And he pretty much schedules his day out, and he writes what he's done and what he's going to do. And so he made a plan up, and I just thought I'd just share Max Adair's plan for his life. Okay? Birth. First steps. I thought that was a cute addition. Preschool, because he went to preschool for like 5 years. Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. Mission. I was happy about that. Then BYU College. And I said, dude, I thought you wanted to go to the U because he loves the U. He says, well, BYU has a bowling alley. So I'm going to go to BYU a little bit. I'm like, that is a great reason to choose a university, bowling. I don't think it's ever been in the top 10, but that's his. So he's going to go to BYU College for 1 year and then go to BYU College for another year. And then I told him that the U had a perfectly good bowling alley. So he decided that he will stick with his mom and he will go to Utah College. Then he's going to switch down and go to SUU for a year because that's where my niece goes right now. And then he's going to come back to the U for 2 years and finish up. So he's going to be all over the state going to college. Then he wrote that he's going to get married. And then he and his wife are going to go down and he's going to perform at Tuacon. We made the mistake or the good thing about going to Tuacon last year, and he is totally into musicals. That's his life right now. So then we're going to go to Tuacon because he wanted to go next summer, and I said, dude, we are not going to St. George for the summer. And so he says, well, when I get married, can I go down? And I said, you do that. So he and his wife are going to go down to Tuacon for a summer while he's on stage. Then they're going to have one kid, two kid, three kid, four kid. First kid's name is going to be Kendall, kind of in honor of my dad. My dad's name was Ken, and he added the little dull thing, Kendall. Second kid, Daphne, in honor of Scooby-Doo. And then the third and fourth kid, he said that he would let his wife be in charge of those names. And then to just finish out his life's plan, they will all be going back where he will be on Broadway. So that is Max's plan for building a ship. He's going to be on Broadway with four children named Kendall and Daphne and his wife. These scriptures, sisters, they can be so wonderful and they can be so useful. And I'm hoping today, as in the past, hopefully, that you will be able to find something today that will help you, that will bless you in the lives of your children and the life of your spouse or just in your own life and the life of people around you. We are in 1 Nephi 16, and I want to just ask this question as we start today. 16, 17, and 18. Three pretty hard things happened to Nephi and all of his family and Laman and Lemuel, and I'm amazed how people respond differently to the exact same challenge. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered why two people can have the exact same experience hitting them in the face and they respond so completely differently? Any ideas? What do you think? Because I know you've seen it. You've been it. Why is that? Why can you have the same experience and two people can respond so differently? What do you think? What are some feelings you have? Yeah, please, Les.
Because think attitude is part of it.
Okay, talk about that a little bit. Attitude is part of it.
Just your approach to life. Recognizing the people I enjoy having around me have a positive approach to life.
Right.
As opposed to a negative attitude that's just, you know, the sky's falling, the sky's continuing to fall until, you know.
So positive versus negative attitude, and depending on who you surround your life with. My husband is Mr. Positive. Honey, the house is burning down. Oh, what a pretty color. Yeah, we will get through it. It's so annoying at times. But that's true. So attitude makes a difference. Okay, what else? Yes, please, stand up. Sorry, but it's better to hear.
I also think it's important how far you can look ahead.
Okay.
And look back and say, we will get through this. If you can't look past 10:30 and you're having a struggle, it's a lot harder than if you can see down the road.
Okay. So perspective, being able to have perspective in the midst, because I know the boulder's hitting you right here, but somehow you can get above it and look down and see, well, maybe that's not as big a boulder as I think. Excellent point. Yes, please.
I think some focus on themselves and they're very selfish and what they want.
Okay.
And others focus on what the Lord would have them do. And it just changes the way you look at things.
So instead of the why me, which I'm very good at, it's what can I do with this situation to help me get closer to Heavenly Father? What can I learn from this situation? Great comment. Yes, please.
I think it all boils down to whether or not you have the Spirit, whether you have the Holy Ghost or not.
Okay.
That can really get us through anything.
Okay, did you hear that? The Holy Ghost, having the Spirit be a part of your life, it really can get you through anything. You know, it's so interesting. In these three chapters, three things happen, and probably a lot of other little things happen. And I'm telling you stuff you already know because I know you've read this. Nephi breaks his bow, okay? Pretty physical, brutal thing. They don't have any way to eat. Their livelihood is cut off. And that's pretty relevant right now with our economic downturn and how hard it is right now. And I know a lot of families are facing financial difficulties and struggles and livelihood issues. These chapters are for you. Nephi breaks his bow. Laman and Lemuel are ticked. And who are they mad at? Nephi. They're always mad at Nephi. What does Nephi do? He gets to work. Next thing that happens, it's really hard. Ishmael dies. The dad of the wives. That's so hard. And what happens when Ishmael dies? Who do Laman and Lemuel get angry with? Nephi. Because he brought them out into the wilderness and Jerusalem was such a great place and how could you bring us here? And the third thing, this is not so much of an in-your-face hardship, but it's a really big challenge from a kid from Jerusalem. Hey, Nephi, could you build a ship? Not just for a little lake, but could you build a ship to take you across the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, whichever way they came? Three huge challenges. And what do Laman and Lemuel do? They make fun of Nephi for building a ship and they don't help. And Nephi gets to work. You know, sisters, Nephi is the king of being able to find the tender mercies of our Heavenly Father. You know, before we go on to 16, there's a verse in chapter 1 that kind of sets the tone for the whole book, and maybe it's something that you need to have that would be a great thing to have in your mind, because Nephi has this all the time. He's always finding this in the midst of all the stuff he's going through. Look what he finds. Chapter 1, verse 20. Go down about five lines of chapter 1, verse 20, and notice this is a running theme throughout the Book of Mormon. We've talked about patterns and themes. This is one of them. They also sought to take away his life that they might take it away. Now, here we go. But behold, I, Nephi, this is so cool, will show to you that, and here's the theme, the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom he hath chosen, you. Because of your faith, to make you mighty even to the power of deliverance. And that is what Nephi, it's one of his biggest strengths, sisters, because he can always find the tender mercies of the Lord, even in the midst of all the difficult challenges that they're facing. He always can look and find those tender mercies. You know, with that in mind, I wasn't going to do this, but let's look really quick. Go back to Mormon chapter 8. This is always a good theme to keep in mind, too, as we begin. Not only that the Lord's tender mercies are over you, but also to remember why certain things were put in this book and why certain things were left out. Look in Mormon chapter 8. It's on page 483. Verses 34 and 35. This is a great thing to always have in the back of your mind as you're reading these verses. And as we're going to go through 16 through 18, to have in your mind that these words were written for you. Look what Moroni and Mormon are the ones that compiled this work. They had all this stuff and they compiled it into a little book that you could read. Because, sisters, look at this, 34. The Lord has shown unto me great and marvelous things concerning that which must shortly come at that day when these things shall come forth among you. Behold, and mark it if you can, I speak to you as if you were present, yet you are not. But this is so cool. But behold, Jesus Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doing. Back to 1 Nephi 16. So with that in mind, sisters, that Moroni and Mormon only included in this work that we would have those things that they thought could help you right now because they saw all the things you're going through. So they thought, okay, you know what? We are going to keep in this record, this book, of what Nephi is going to go through with Laman and Lemuel. Let's give them a comparison of how to deal with things. Let's show them how the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom he's chosen to make them mighty, even to the power of deliverance. Remember, you guys, our Heavenly Father loves you. You are his work and his glory. His whole purpose is to bring you home. And this whole 16 through 18 is literally a metaphor as they're finding their way to the promised land. It's really a metaphor of you getting back home to our Heavenly Father. And there's a lot of stuff I don't know, but you know what? There's two things that I do know for sure. One thing I know for sure is that every time I keep the commandments, I'm happy. I have never had a time when I've kept the commandments and I've been miserable. And the second thing I know for sure is that a lot of crummy stuff happens. And you know what I believe? I believe sometimes it just happens. But I believe that every single time that you keep the commandments and every single time you look to Heavenly Father, that you find peace and you find happiness, even in the midst of a lot of stuff happening, even in the midst of your livelihood being taken away, even in the midst of death, even in the midst of a challenge that is so overwhelming. Build a ship. Are you kidding? Build a ship. I want you to take just about 30 seconds and I want you to write down right now just in your own little mind or just write it in your head something that you are dealing with right now, okay? I want you to think about what's going on with your children, with your spouse, just with your life. Something that is weighing on you the most. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe it's a heartache. Just take a second and write it down and I want you to keep it in your heart as we go through this, and you see if today our Heavenly Father, through the power of these words, doesn't begin to lift that burden for you or give you an idea of how you can solve that problem or give you a little bit of a head start on what you could do to make that easier. Because my goal is, well, it's in 1 Nephi 18. My goal is for us this. Verse 21 and 22. It came to pass, after they had loosed me, Laman and Lemuel, I took the compass and it did work whither I desired it. And it came to pass that I prayed to the Lord, and this is what my hope is for you today and me. After I had prayed, the winds did cease, and the storm did cease, and there was a great calm. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did guide the ship that we sailed again towards the promised land. My hope, sisters, today is that you will find a calmness today, even in the midst of, you know, your journey back to Heavenly Father, even in the midst of all the stuff going on, even in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, that you will find that the winds today for a moment will cease. And you will be able to see more clearly. Because that's the desire of our Heavenly Father. To be able, even in the midst of the storm, to be able to see more clearly and to journey once again back to our Heavenly Father. Nephi uses, I think, three things that are kind of interwoven as the tender mercies of the Lord that, sisters, we can use today. The very first thing that he uses in these chapters to get him through all this stuff is in chapter 16, verse 10. Let's read that together, and you all know about the wonderful Liahona. The amazing Liahona. Verse 10, would you read along with me? And as we're looking here, I want you to mark what is the Liahona's purpose, okay? That's what you're looking for. Verse 10. It came to pass that as my father arose in the morning and went forth to the tent door, to his great astonishment, he beheld upon the ground a round ball of curious workmanship. And it was of fine brass. And within the ball were two spindles. Okay, this is Liahona. Now, we don't really care how it looks. What we care about, what it does. Now, look at what it does. Mark it, if you will. Within the ball were two spindles, and the one, here we go, pointed the way whither we should go into the wilderness. So the first thing it does, points the way. So it's kind of their compass. It shows them the way they need to go. Okay? Second thing the Liahona does, look over with me into verse 16. We did follow the directions of the ball, and the second thing that Liahona does, this is so cool, it leads us in the more fertile parts of the wilderness. So the second thing the ball does, it puts you in the best place in life. So they're still in the wilderness, but following the Liahona, they're in the best parts of the wilderness. Does that make sense? So they're in the best parts to help fulfill their needs and make them happy. Fertile means it's going to provide food and the things that you need to live a good life. Okay? Verse 28 and 29, the next things the Liahona does. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the pointers which were in the ball. And what's the next thing they do? They did work according to the faith and diligence and heed which we did give to them. So the third thing. The only way it works is according to our actions. How we act. Our faith. Our diligence. If we follow it. If it points us away and we actually follow it, or do we disregard it? So that's a key. And then the fourth key, 29. There was also written upon them, on the Liahona, a new writing. And here's the next thing. Which was plain to be read. What else does the Liahona do? Which did give us understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. So the next thing it does, it helps them understand Heavenly Father and Jesus. And it was written and changed from time to time according to their needs, according to the faith and diligence which we gave to it. And this is one of those wonderful themes throughout the Book of Mormon, the next three lines. And thus we see. That's always a thing. Whenever you see thus we see, boy, tune up. Because that's Heavenly Father, Moroni, and Mormon saying, hello, you know, newsflash. Thus we see. Here it is. By small means, the Lord can bring about great things. David Bednar, the Quorum of the Twelve, he said this about the Liahona. He said, The primary purpose of the Liahona was to provide both direction and instruction during a long and demanding journey. Now this, he says, for us. Each of us in this day has been given a spiritual compass that can direct and instruct us during our mortal journey. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost operates in our lives precisely as the Liahona did for Lehi and his family. It operates according to our diligence, our faith, and our heed. You know, Henry B. Eyring of the Quorum of the Twelve, I'm not going to quote this exactly, but he said about the Holy Ghost, and I'm paraphrasing, that whenever we have the Holy Ghost, whenever it's a part of our lives, and you know when it is and when it's not, you know that light, you know that feeling of love, you know that feeling of understanding and compassion that envelops you. He said, whenever you have the Holy Ghost, you can be assured that the atonement is working in your life. How cool is that? That the atonement is a part of your life, that it's purifying you, that it's offering you hope, that it's giving you power. You know, the great thing about these things that we're going to see today, that Nephi actually uses the Liahona that represents the Holy Ghost, everything that we're going to talk about today, you guys, always leads directly to him. It's always about the Savior. And everything the Holy Ghost does in our lives is to hopefully get us to the place, direct us, keep us in the best places of life, and teach us more and more about Jesus Christ and his atonement. Because again, the Savior is the only one that can get us home to the Father. So it's all about getting us to him. Small and simple things, a small, soft voice that whispers. A little whispering. If you look with me in chapter 17, verse 45, Nephi, in talking to Laman and Lemuel, he says, "You are swift to do iniquity, but slow to remember the Lord your God. You've seen an angel. He spoke to you. You've heard his voice from time to time. He has spoken to you in a still small voice, but you were past feeling, that you could not feel his words. Wherefore he has spoken to you like the voice of thunder, which did cause the earth to shake as if it were to divide asunder." You know, sisters, that's all Laman and Lemuel could hear. They could only hear loud stuff. They had the angel come and shake them, you know. They had all this loud stuff happening. But you know what, you guys? Heavenly Father's not in the loud stuff. He is in the still, small voice. I remember my dad did a little, I wasn't going to do this, but I think it's kind of cool. Remember when he was talking to me about filling the Spirit and wanting to be happy when I wasn't making some good choices. And he did this little thing, and I'm going to have, let's see, Heidi Ellis, come here, bud. Okay, makes the best cinnamon rolls ever. Okay, come here, Heidi. Okay, now, just kind of bear with me. I just want you to just walk up halfway, okay?
She's the business wife. She has to do this. Okay, Heidi, I want you to tell, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to tell everyone what I am saying to you. Okay, just repeat it back. Tell everybody what I said.
I have no idea.
Okay, come closer. Okay. Red light.
No idea.
No idea. Okay, I know this is getting old. Okay, why can't you hear me?
Because I'm too far away.
She's too far away, and what am I doing? I'm whispering. I'm covering my mouth for the purpose of this. But now, she's right next to me. I've got my arm around her. What did I say?
Heidi, your Heavenly Father loves you very much.
Okay. Now, I said that, I said the exact same thing every single time, but the only way she could hear me is when she was right next to me so I could give her a big hug. Okay, good, thanks. Now, I want you to think about that because, look, that is, you know, my dad, when he was telling me that, he was wanting to get in my mind that one of the reasons our Heavenly Father talks soft is because he wants to be right next to us when he's talking to us. He wants to be next to us, you know? He wants to have his arms around us and holding us and embracing us and saying, I love you. You can do it. But Laman and Lemuel could never do that. They could never hear the still, small voice. They were never quiet. They always thought it had to be great and spectacular. But sisters, that's not the way Heavenly Father works. His own son got up and announced his ministry by getting up in church and reading scripture. His own son fought off Satan by reading scripture and praying. Joseph Smith, this spectacular first vision, came about because he read the scriptures and he prayed and he pondered. Small things, soft things, simple things bring about incredible, great things. From 1 Nephi 16, go with me to Alma chapter 37. Because Alma gives us more about really what the Holy Ghost does. This wonderful Liahona. Look in verse 44. He's talking about what the Liahona does. Verse 44 through 47. On page 304. For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. From here, you guys, right there, a cool cross-reference is 2 Nephi 32, 3 through 5. Because right here, it doesn't say anything about the Holy Ghost. It says something about the words of Christ. The cool thing is the Holy Ghost, when we hear the feelings of the Holy Ghost, those are the words of Christ. Look in 32, verse 3 of 2 Nephi. That's how neat this is. Just kind of this roundabout scripture look at what the Holy Ghost does. 32, verse 3, page 115. Doesn't it feel good to be turning the pages and feeling the power that's in these words? 2 Nephi 32, verse 3. Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Look in verse 5 then. For behold, again I say to you that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show you all things what you should do. Do you see the similarity there? The words of Christ will teach you everything you need to do. The Holy Ghost will show you everything you need to do. You're faced with a situation, you know what never fails with your children or with anything, is really saying, okay, what would Jesus do? And you know the amazing thing, whenever you think about what would Jesus do, it's almost like a sigh of relief. It's almost like, oh, because it's being soft. It's forgiving. It's letting go of a hurt. It's feeling at peace again.
But when you read about the Holy Ghost, its whole purpose is to help us hear the words of Christ, because they are the things that will tell us every single thing that we need to do. And it's just a small thing, sisters. It's a little bit of whispering from our Heavenly Father. And whispering so he can be close enough that he can put his arms around you. My sister-in-law Becky is up here for a very important reason. A year and a half ago, and my ward is all over this because my ward is a big part of why Becky is here. Her and my brother were in a horrible place. And I just thought it was so interesting. This Thursday, my husband had emergency surgery, and he's fine, but it was scary for a day, and then he's totally fine. But for the day, I was a panic, you know, moms. I called my little brother the morning of surgery. He hadn't been feeling as well this week. I called Chris, Becky's husband, and he came running over to the hospital, he gave Mike the most beautiful blessing. And then the clergy guy that was a member of the church, that he's a chaplain on the fourth floor of the surgical ward of St. Mark's, he asked Chris if he would spend some time in the morning going around giving blessings. And here's my little brother, who a year and a half ago wasn't honoring his priesthood. His wife, Becky said I could share, they were separated. It was very dark in their home. Here he is walking around with the chaplain, and he's giving blessings, priesthood blessings, on the fourth floor at St. Mark's. Tender mercies of the Lord. Small things. And I'm going to embarrass Mindy Rice. She's in the back. But you know what? Our family, Mindy Rice is like sainthood in our home, because she gave a lesson on the temple. And Becky happened to be at church that day with her little boys. And Becky saw Peyton and Jackson and Lex and Janie sing a song about temples. And Mindy's testimony of temples was so powerful. It's a little Relief Society lesson, are you kidding? It made all the difference. And a few other things happened. And now Becky and Chris, with Book of Mormon, with prayer, nothing spectacular. Not one thing spectacular. Last June, what's the date? June 6th, they were still in the temple with their two little boys. I don't know if President Hanks mentioned this at the...
He did.
He talked about it on Saturday night. We didn't come because Mike didn't feel good. But when Trey was asked, what's the most great place on the earth, or what's the greatest creation? He said, it's my home. It's his home. And a year ago, it was a dark place. But now, being sealed in the temple, his place, his home, is the best place in the world. Small things, great things. And now Trey and Charlie are sealed under the covenant. Trey was baptized with my boys, and they're going to grow up, and the lineage of the gospel will continue in the Chris and Becky Doan home, because of small and simple things. I've asked Becky to just share her testimony of that.
Good morning. I told myself I wasn't going to cry, but that's empty. Anyway, okay. Thanks. Diane called me at 9:15 this morning and asked me to talk. So, thanks, Dad. And I didn't really know what I was going to say, but most of you know what my background is, and I'm just going to touch on that briefly. I'm a convert to the church. And the first few years were really hard for me. And we would go to church, and then, you know, it was hard. And we would stop and go back and forth, and eventually things took a toll on our marriage. And we had separated. And that was the worst time of my life. And we had a vacation, a family vacation planned to Disneyland. And I said to Chris, we're not going as a family. We're not a family. We don't function as a family. All we do is fight. You know, what's the point of going on vacation together? Because I'm not going to go to California and fight. So he took Train Charlie to Disneyland, and I took my two older boys to Michigan. That's where I'm from. And something happened while I was gone. And I took my Book of Mormon with me, but I didn't open it while I was in Michigan. But I took a lot of time to myself. I would go down to the beach on Lake Michigan and just stare out at the water, and that's just a wonderful calming thing for me. And it was something I always did as a child growing up there. And during that most difficult time, I felt so loved by Heavenly Father. I knew that no matter what happened, that everything was going to be okay. And while I was there, I had decided, when I get back home to Salt Lake City, I am going to become more active in my ward. I'm going to read the scriptures every day. I'm going to pray every day. And I'm going to get my endowments. It was just something that I knew while we were separated. And I remember driving back, and we were driving through Nebraska, and the brothers hadn't talked to each other during those 10 days that we were separated. And I remember driving, and Matt, my 11-year-old, says, can I call Trey? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So I handed him my cell phone, and he got Trey on the phone, and they were crying because they missed each other. And of course, I started crying, and I thought, there's got to be a way for this to work. And we got home, and Chris and I really, I didn't talk to him while I was in Michigan. I needed time to think. And so when we got back to Salt Lake City, I think it was a couple of days after we had returned, and we sat down and were talking and, you know, figuring out what we were going to do. Are we going to, you know, go through with calling the lawyers and get the divorce, or really, really try? And it would have been so easy, in a sense, just to walk away and say, forget it, I'm not doing it. But I looked at him and I said, I want us to be happy. I want us to have a wonderful family life, and I want our kids to grow up knowing that we love the gospel. And I said, and I'm going to get my endowments. And he looked at me like I was insane. And I said, but I really feel like this is what I need to do. And I said, and if you want to do this with me, then we're going to make a commitment here and now, and we're going to do it. And he said, yes, we're going to do this. And so we started. And we went to church, and he would go to church when he could, when he wasn't working or sleeping. And only a few weeks later, I was called as the primary pianist. And I thought, this is bizarre. Why is this happening to me? I love playing the piano, but I'm terrified of performing in front of people. I thought, boy, they've made a really big mistake here. And, you know, we just kept plugging along and reading our scriptures and praying together. And when he was at work, if I found a scripture that touched me, I would text it to him. And then he would call and we'd talk about it. And it was through all of those simple things that Diane was talking about that helped us go through the temple on June 6th. And it was 9 years or 10 years to the day that we were married. And when you look back on your life and you start remembering certain events and things that were said to you, at least for me, it made me realize that Heavenly Father has always loved me and he's always guided me. And I've not always done the things that I was supposed to be doing, but Heavenly Father never quit on me. And I'm very, very grateful for that, because now I have that family that I have wanted for so very long, a family that I didn't have growing up, and now I'm able to give that to my boys and to my husband. And I testify to you that even in the darkest times of your life, that if you continue to pray and read your scriptures and ask for Heavenly Father's help, he is going to help you. It may not be quick, it may take months, but it will come to fruition. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Small and simple things. Nephi used Leahona to guide him. And then something else that Becky was talking about, you know what he does when the brothers are struggling? He begins to remind them of the scriptures, and he begins to tell them about Moses' journey. Remember, the children of Israel were led out of bondage. You can too. We can make this. He puts them back in the scriptures. They don't listen very well, but that's what he's doing. He is the king of Preach My Gospel. President Bowie would love Nephi. He is Mr. Preach My Gospel, because he is always testifying, testifying, testifying. In 17 verse 30, look there with me. He's testifying over and over again. Just a pattern. I'll just share one of these verses with you. In 17:30, when Nephi's testifying of the scriptures and he's reminding them of what the children of Israel went through, he says, "Notwithstanding they being led, the Lord their God, their Redeemer, he went before them, leading them by day and giving light unto them by night, and doing all things for them were expedient for men to receive." He's constantly repeating and helping them remember the scriptures. He's always going back for help. Remember what he went through to have the scriptures. And now Nephi is always using them. As you read through, whenever Nephi's talking, you can see that he's always referring back to the Old Testament. He's always talking about Isaiah or other prophets. They were his book. Isaiah was his prophet, and now Nephi is our prophet, who we're learning from. The third thing that I think is really cool that Nephi does as he's invited to build a ship is you'll find him in the tops of the mountains. Now, it's really interesting. Whenever I see the word mountains in the scripture, I'm always reminded what the Bible dictionary says about mountains. They literally, in the place where there is no temple, mountains are temples. And Nephi, it's so interesting, always finds himself up in the mountains. Isn't that interesting? No, the Bible dictionary said, a place, temples, a place where the Lord may come. It is the most holy of any place of worship on earth. Remember, it says only the home can compare to a temple in sacredness. In certain cases, ordinances may be done on mountaintops. So interesting. So look with me, you guys, if you would. Look with me into verse 30 of chapter 16. Notice how interesting this is. He's trying to find food. Remember, he builds his bow. He makes his bow. He's trying to find food. Notice where the bow tells, or the liahona tells him to go. Verse 30. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did go forth up into the top of the mountain, according to the directions which were given by the Baal. So the Baal says, go up to the top of the mountain, and look what happens when he goes there. 31. And it came to pass that I did slay wild beasts, insomuch that I did obtain food for our families. So he goes to the top of the mountain, and it is there where he gains the nourishment for his family. What a wonderful metaphor for our temples. Going to the temples and we find nourishment for our family. On June 6th, Becky's family was nourished. Her two youngest sons were sealed to her. They have become an eternal family. Look with me in chapter 17 when Nephi is asked to build a ship. Notice where Heavenly Father has him go. Look in verse 7 with me. And it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had been in the land of Bountiful for the space of many days, the voice of the Lord came to me and said, arise and get thee into the mountain. And it came to pass that I arose and I went up to the mountain. And I cried to the Lord. And it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto me, and he said, thou shalt construct a ship after the manner which I shall show thee, that I may carry thy people across these waters. Notice those words. You're going to make a ship that I'm going to show you how to make. What a metaphor for our own lives. We go up into the mountains, we go up into the temple, and it's Heavenly Father teaching us about our lives. What type of a life do you need to build to get back to the promised land? What type of a life do you need to live to be able to make it through all the storms and all the stuff that comes your way? Let me show you. And it only happens in the tops of the mountains. That's why the temple, President Hunter said, should be the epitome of our worship. Have you gotten this new ensign? It's all on temples. And if you open it up, there's a picture of the Salt Lake Temple. Then you open up to the very next page, and it's a picture of our love, the Savior. And it says, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the house of the Lord, we feel the influence of the Holy Ghost and draw nearer to God, our eternal Father, and to his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Look with me in chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass that they did worship the Lord, and they did go forth with me, and they did work timbers of curious workmanship. And the Lord did show me from time to time after what manner I should work the timbers of the ship. Now I, Nephi, did not work the timbers after the manner which was learned by men. Isn't that awesome? Neither did I build the ship after the manner of men, but I did build it after the manner which the Lord had shown unto me. Wherefore it was not after the manner of men. And then I think my favorite verse, and I, Nephi, did go to the mount oft, and I did pray oft unto the Lord. Wherefore the Lord showed unto me great things. Would you look up here?
This light's supposed to come on first. Oh, it didn't come on yet.
it not going to work? Oh my gosh. It's okay.
She told me the green light. Promise it was working.
It's okay.
Do you want to talk for a minute and I'll get it going?
I'm going to talk for a minute while we get it going. No, let's not even worry about it.
Are you sure?
I'm good, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, sisters, just maybe in closing then, I would just like to offer a challenge. I know getting to the temple can seem like, are you kidding me, one of those things. Like, I can't. It's too much. I'm reminded that whenever the saints would get anywhere, the very first thing Heavenly Father would say, and this is before they could eat, he said, build a temple. You know, first thing they get to Kirtland, build a temple. First thing they get to Nauvoo, build a temple. First thing they get to Salt Lake, build a temple. And now, sisters, we have like a million temples right here. And my hope and my prayer is by a month from today that every sister in this room today, and talk to your friends, will have gone to the temple one time. And you know what? You don't even have to go to do an endowment. You know what one of the coolest things to do is? Go and do washing and anointings. Go do baptisms for the dead. Go with your husband. If your kids are in kindergarten, send them off and head down and do an hour's worth of washing and anointing somewhere. Nephi went to the mount oft, and he learned how to make the ship that would literally take them to the promised land. And I find it interesting that when they get to the promised land, within a few short months, Laman and Lemuel and Nephi's group, they have to separate. And you know what Nephi's group does? The very first thing they do when they separate and they get to their place, you know what they do? They build a temple. Where did the Savior come? In 3 Nephi. He came to the Bountiful Temple. He came to the Land Bountiful. And I'd like you to remember that you know all that part. It's before he comes insane. It's spectacular. There's thunderings, there's lightnings, there's earthquakes. There's all this stuff. And like Elijah says, he's not in all that stuff. He's in the still, small voice. It's only when all that stuff dies down and it's quiet and the Lord speaks through that still, small voice, and it takes the people three times, but they're finally quiet enough to hear it. And what do they hear? Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Sisters, it is small things that lead to great things. It is being quiet and listening to that still small voice which brings us closer to the Savior. It's spending every day opening these scriptures, reading them alone and reading them with our children, and helping them feel the Spirit and helping them make plans for their life using this as a backdrop. It's praying often. It's going to the temple. Not one of these is what the world would consider spectacular in any way, but be comforted. That's not the way our Heavenly Father works. He works through routine ground ball plays. And if we will do that, great things will happen in our lives and the lives of our children. I bear you my testimony that our Heavenly Father loves us. Again, what does he do all day? He does you. You are his work and his glory. And whatever challenge or hardship or thing that is stressful to you right now, my hope and prayer is that we will follow Nephi. We will listen to that Spirit. We will open the scriptures. We will get to the temple. And we will be on our knees. So that just for a time in our journey, that maybe the winds will cease. And you will have some peace and some clarity to know the direction you need to go with you and your family. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Our Father in heaven, we are indeed grateful for the wonderful spirit that has been here today, especially the spirit that we feel of our dear teacher. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the explanations and teachings that she has brought us in 1 Nephi to teach us that we have to live as the prophets of old did, that we can have the same spirit to guide us that they had with Eliahona. We're grateful for all the blessings that we enjoy and know that if we follow the Lord's commandments and his teachings and listen to that still small voice, we will be guided through our problems, through our happiness, through all that we do. And I pray that we can take advantage of our temple session today and tomorrow, or if you can't go those days, that we can go at least this week and feel of that spirit of our stake, that we can go forward and do the things and teach our families as we should and love them and protect them. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Silly because it was scary, but then when they got in